Invite, if you would, to take your Bibles and turn to Luke chapter 10. We're going to be in verses 38 through 42. If you're using a pew Bible, we're on page 735. Luke chapter 10, verses 38 through 42. Hope you all had a nice 4th of July. Hope you ate some unhealthy food and watched some fireworks and didn't injure yourselves in the process. So, 4th of July is probably one of those times in the year where the Lord looks at me the most as a foolish person. As I light the fuse and turn and run, you know, and then look back and hope I see it. So far, so good. All the fingers and we're all here. Luke chapter 10, beginning in verse 38. Luke writes, "As Jesus and his disciples were on their way, he came to a village where a woman named Martha opened her home to him. She had a sister called Mary who sat at the Lord's feet listening to what he said. But Martha was distracted by all the preparations that had to be made. She came to him and asked, 'Lord, don't you care that my sister has left me to do the work by myself? Tell her to help me.' 'Martha, Martha,' the Lord answered, 'you are worried and upset about many things, but only one thing is needed.'" You're worried and upset about many things, but only one thing is needed. "Mary has chosen what is better, and it will not be taken away from her." This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God. A quick question to see if this sermon is at all applicable to you. How many of you are anxious or worried about anything in life? It was kind of interesting as I left the first service. This is one of those topics in a sermon where I talked to people after the first service, and they're like, "Man, I needed to hear that sermon today." I'm like, well, yeah, because you're human, right? Anxiety and kind of worry and stress about any number of things is part of the human condition. So even as you sit in this sanctuary right now, if you think about all the different things that you might be worried about, I'm a joke with the first service. I don't know if you know this or not, but in November there'll be an election. Are you all aware of that? There's going to be an election in November. Also don't know if you know that there's a thing called the economy, and there's a thing called inflation that's currently happening. And then, probably closer to home, like, you're like, okay, yeah, those are issues, right? Like, those are things that are happening in the world. But much closer to home, you and I often are anxious about things that are really personal in nature. Could be our own health or the health of someone that we love. Could be not just the economy, like, in large, but it could be our job. Like, in my role at work, or it could be all these different things that we are prone to be anxious and worry about. And every now and then, I go into old man mode, okay? And I'm like, man, things used to be better, right? It's all technology, and it's screens, and it's social media, and less. Like, it's all of these things, and the world's just kind of getting worse. And remember that idyllic time we used to live in? People used to roller skate at the church. Then that, I mean, just roller skating in the church gym just ought to fill your heart and mind with like, oh, that was a simpler time, right? None of you would come roller skate at the church anymore. But the truth of the matter is that maybe things are getting, maybe they're getting worse in some ways. Like, maybe it's the things that you and I allow into our hearts and lives that can make our anxiety worse. Like, if nothing else, this will be a blessing to you. From now till November, just don't turn on the news. For goodness sake, don't leave it on all day. Okay? That's free public service announcement, right? That the anxiety, allowing those things into our heart and our mind, guess what? You're not going to turn the news on. They're going to say, things are generally looking good today. We'll see you tomorrow. Right? Even the weatherman, it's extremely hot today, right? It might get worse tomorrow. Like, there's this sense of impending doom that I got to come back tomorrow and see if, like, are we going to survive this or not, right? And it might be that social media is ramping it up and making you worse, and you're arguing with people that you used to not even, you didn't even know they existed. And now you're arguing with them, right? It just kind of ramps it up that much more. But the passage today reminds me that being anxious is not necessarily anything new. Like, being anxious and being nervous and worried about fill in the blank is just part of being human. As long as humans have been walking the earth and thinking about things like eating and shelter and whatever else those needs are that we have, as long as we've had those, there's been this part inside of us that we're anxious and worried about those things. And that ultimately somebody's got to be responsible for providing them. And so often we look to ourselves, and we know ourselves well enough to know that we're not able to meet the challenges, correct? And so this anxiousness and anxiety comes in. Our story today starts off harmless enough. Jesus goes to a nearby village, and there's a lady named Martha who welcomes Jesus into her home. Now, can you think of a better thing to do? Like this afternoon, we're like, we're going to go home and get the pot roast out, and Jesus is coming over for lunch. Like a very noble, very great thing to do. And so she's hospitable. In fact, if you have a pot roast on your stove right now, I would love to come eat lunch with you, right? But inviting someone into your house, it's a gracious, kind thing to do. So she starts out really great in the story. She's inviting Jesus into her home. And then pretty quickly we figure out something's up because we're introduced to Mary. She had a sister named Mary who was sitting at Jesus' feet listening to him teach. So Martha's invited Jesus into their home. You can just imagine how anxious they are, perhaps, for having such a prominent, somewhat famous person at this time in Jesus' life into their house. And Martha is the one who's anxious about getting everything just perfect. And if you were coming to my house today, like, I would be thinking about the weeds that grow faster than my grass. Why do weeds grow faster than my grass? Right? Are you thinking about the little shoots that are going off the trees up really high that I need to get? And like, Mary would be inside. We would have that Roomba thing going, right? And putting stuff in closets like we'd be getting ready. That's Martha. Like, Martha is getting everything ready and making sure it's perfect. And then there is Mary just hanging out, just sitting there at Jesus' feet listening to him teach. I joke that when Mary and I were first dating, she would come over to our house sometimes on Sundays after church for lunch. And this is what we did. And I'm not condoning this, okay? It's just what it was. We would all eat. The men didn't cook anything for sure. And we didn't clean anything up. And we would just sit in the den and we would watch the NASCAR race while the women cleaned everything up. And I thought it was perfectly fine until Mary came into my life, right? And then Mary was like, you know, y'all could help clean up. And honest, this is transparent. I was like, I think they're enjoying their time in there fellowshipping. She's like, well, come enjoy with us, right? But like, I can see kind of that feeling happening where like with every lap that Martha makes through the den and sees Mary sitting there, it just kind of, it's raising just a little bit more every time. You feel that in your own spirit? Like when you see somebody not doing or not helping, first time you might be able to handle it, but about that second or third pass through the den, it just kind of, right? It just erupts. And so Martha has finally, she's had her fill, and she appeals to Jesus, right? Of course, Jesus is going to help her in this instance. Martha was distracted, and says in verse 40, with much serving. And she went up to Jesus and she said, Lord, do you not care? Do you not care that my sister has left me to serve alone? Tell her to help me. Like, don't you see what's happening here? I'm making all the preparations. I'm making everything perfect. Don't you see the fact that she's just sitting there doing nothing? Like, tell her to get up and help me. Now, Martha perhaps thought that Jesus was going to come to her aid, right? Maybe she expected Jesus to say, all right, Mary, this is fine, but like, you need to get up and help, right? And he responds in a totally different way. Did you hear what he said? The Lord answered her, "Martha, Martha, you are anxious and troubled about many things. You are anxious and troubled about many things." And just a moment ago, we acknowledged the fact that for most of us who are living and breathing, we could fill out our own list of things that we're anxious and worried about. We're anxious and you're worried about many things. But in her anxiousness and in her worry, she's missing out on the fact that Jesus himself is in her home. That Jesus, the Messiah, and she doesn't fully understand all that yet, right? It'll be revealed in time. But Jesus, this important rabbi who is in her home, is right there, and she's missing out on this opportunity to fellowship with him because she's distracted and anxious about a lot of different things. Driving back from South Carolina yesterday, I will admit to you that I have to be careful to not be anxious or distracted by many things while I'm driving. In full transparency, I'll confess to you that, going back to the phones and the social media thing, sometimes I'm the distraction police in my house. Any of you other old seasoned people, are you the distraction police? Like, I look around and I'm like, I joke the first service that if Webb was here, this might be the first amen I've ever gotten from him in a sermon. But it's so easy for me to be like, get off that thing, put that thing up, enjoy, be paying attention. And then I find myself in the same situation. Driving along at some amount of speed. And you know, like, oh, I wonder about, it can happen so quickly, can it? And the faster you're going, the higher the consequences for such a foolish decision that you can miss out on something that's so important right in front of you. And in a way, I think that's what Martha had done. She was distracted by so many things around her that she missed out on the importance of the person who was right there in front of her and the opportunity to be with him. And most of us, when you get a little age on you especially, like, the thing that I want more than anything from the people that I love the most is their attention. It's like Sharon said in the children's sermon, do you want me to talk to you like this, or do you want me to look you in the eyes? And the thing that I desire more than anything from the people that I love the most is that, right? Just attention and focus and time. And so she's got the opportunity to sit down with Jesus, and Mary's like, I'm taking it. Everything else can go, and whatever happens, fine, I'm going to take this opportunity. And Martha misses this opportunity with the Lord because she's distracted by all these different things. And then Jesus says, one thing is necessary. You're distracted and you're anxious about lots of different things, but only one thing is necessary. Any of you see that movie City Slickers back in the day? Remember that part where the cowboy's like, it's just one thing. Billy Crystal spends his whole time in the movie, what is the one thing, right? And Jesus he says, it's just one thing that's necessary. You're anxious and you're troubled and you're worried about a lot of things, but there's just one thing that's necessary. And she, Mary, has chosen the better portion, and it will not be taken away from her. She's chosen the better portion. She's chosen me. She's chosen to sit at my feet and learn from me, and that's the best thing that she could have chosen, and so that's not going to be taken away from her. You all, in our distraction and in our busyness, we so often lose sight of things that are truly important in life. And life seems to be, again, here's all my old man things I'm telling you today, but it does seem true that, like, I look up and, like, the years just kind of seem to be skirting past, right? 45, good gracious, just glad I got here today, right? 10 years from now, like, it's not that crazy that I'm like, I can think about what's going to be like when I'm 65. And to look back, will I be distracted by things that ultimately don't matter, or will I focus on the one thing that's more important than the other things? Because here's the reality of life. No matter how busy you are, or how important you are, or all the things that you have going on, one day you will not be. One day you will not be. And in part, the only thing scarier to me than being really anxious and busy about lots of things is having nothing to do. Right? And sitting around and wondering in that moment, will I have cultivated a heart for the Lord and a relationship with Him such that when everything else is stripped away, I still feel like I have everything that I need? I get to do lots of fun things in my job, honestly, and I don't do this as nearly as much as I would like, but I'm praying for the Lord to help me. I got to go visit one of our older members, and she can't come to church anymore, and she's in a facility. She seems to be taking good care of her, but I stopped by and sat with her one day. And, of course, we did all the things you would assume. She asked about my kids and wanted to see pictures and sports they're doing, and we talked, and kind of toward the end, she said, you know, I don't go and do as much, and, you know, probably people don't visit as much as she would like. But she says, but I have the Lord. And because I have the Lord, I have everything that I need. You know, and as a relatively young person, I left. that was just as good as the one thing comment in the movie. You know, I left thinking about that. And wondering if I get to the end of my life, if I get to be an old person one day, and I do find myself and all the things that I once looked to keep me busy or focused on other things are slowly stripped away, will I have that same sense of contentment that she has? Will there be this peace in my heart that the Lord is my portion? The lines have fallen for me, as the psalmist would say, in beautiful places, and if I have Him, I have everything that I need. And a tricky thing about this is that nobody really is going to know if you're cultivating that kind of inner life. Nobody will know. They'll know if you're Martha, right? And the sermon is not a harsh word on hard work or preparation or diligence. I read Proverbs every day. One thing you learn about Proverbs is that hard work is a good thing. Preparing yourself for the future, that's a wise thing for us to do. It's also not a commendation of me going home and watching the football game after church either, right? Maybe I should load that dishwasher, right? I should be involved in helping more. But it is to say, as you're going through life, remember that you are not ultimately made to be anxious and in control of everything that is happening or might happen. But the most important thing that you can do for yourself and really for those around you is to cultivate a heart for the Lord and to grow in your relationship with Him in maturity so that you might be the kind of person that He can use for His good, for your good, and for His glory. So the challenge for you this week is to make time for the Lord, to meet Him in His Word. And wherever you are in that journey, if you're like, I've already memorized Leviticus, well, good for you. This is not for you. It's just to take one step to the Lord each day. And it might just be that you just offer a simple prayer to Him throughout the day. Nothing elaborate, nothing. You know, it's kind of interesting. Sometimes we have prayer voices, don't we? It's like, I've never heard my dad talk like that in his whole life, except when he prays. But it might just be a simple prayer you offer to the Lord. I told the first service, my Uncle Rick reminded me of this while I was home. We got to go to South Carolina to see family for the 4th of July. And Uncle Rick, I really love being around him, in part because he's a guy, he's been in church his whole life. And I think the Gospels really landing in his heart in a fresh way that he's not heard it before, and it's so life-giving to him. And he taught me this simple prayer. Help me, Lord. Help me. Because again, I'm really good at showing you the places where you're too busy, or where you're too distracted, or where you're too anxious about all these different things. But the Lord's teaching me, I think, in this season to just, Lord, help me. Help me to find my joy and my peace in you, to trust that you're present and you're at work, and all these things that I can't change ultimately or can't fix. And trust those things to you, and Lord, give me that peace that passes understanding. Give me that joy that I find in my relationship with you, that when all the stuff's gone, when I'm hopefully 105 and I still make my way up to the church and everybody's like, who is that old guy? He used to work here one day, right? That in those moments that I say, the Lord is my portion. If I have him, I have everything that I need. And find joy and contentment in him that nothing this life can provide. I'd like you to pray with me. God, thank you that you're so good and gracious to us, that you know that we are weak. And you know that we're feeble, and you know that we are prone to be anxious and distracted by many things. And so, Lord, we repent of that, and we pray that you would help us to not be distracted and to not be anxious by all the things that are swirling around us in life, but that you would help us to look to you. We would cultivate a relationship with you and a heart that's growing in our dependence and our trust in you, that we might experience the life that you would have for us to know. We pray that you would help us to be at peace with the things that we can't change or beyond our ability to influence, and that you would help us to find joy and peace and comfort in trusting ourselves to you. We offer this prayer in Christ's name.